Now we're holding on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, a little bit past the middle of the Amud by the two dots. Now the Mishnah had said, Gonav Mishal Aviv, suppose a person stole from an animal from his father, the Tavach Machal Chola, and then he shechted or sold it. So we said, if afterwards, he stole it while his father was still alive, then, and he shechted it while, or whatever, while his father was alive, then his father died. So now what happens is, so he and his brothers together are yashining, but what he has to do is he has to pay his brothers the percentage that they would have gotten from that Yerusha. He pays from that to Shlomi Dala Behe. So, say, for example, in other words, suppose there were three brothers, and let's say, to keep things simple, none of them are Bechor, so each one of them is going to be inheriting one third of the property, so then he's going to be paying two thirds of the Tashlum Abab Hamisha out to them, and the other third of the money he keeps for himself. So the Gemara asks a related question, where we're going to end up using this Mishnah as a proof. Bamine Ravim Rav Nachman. Gonav shur shal shnei shutfin. Suppose a person stole a shur that belonged to two partners, utvachai, and he shechted that animal, v'hoidu la'echad mehen, and then afterwards he admitted to one of them that he had stolen and he had shechted the animal. Now, as we've learned before, there's the concept of moidu b'knas potter, that if a person admits to owing a knas, then he's potter from it. A knas is only when edim come and say that he did it. So in this case, he admitted to one of them what he had done. The other one, he's still denying. Now, what's exactly the scenario? So first of all, Tosfos talks about that there has to be some kind of we have the concept which we're going to learn later on in the Perek, where we've touched on it before, about moedib knas v'achakach bo edim. If a person admits to being chayv in a knas and later on edim come, does that still keep him potter from the knas? Or maybe since after all there are edim, he's going to be chayv. We're going to have a machlokas later of Rabin, and we're going to have a machlokas later on Daf Ayin He on that topic.
Why do you say he admitted when he concealed one of them?
The fact is he admitted to one of them. So Tosfos is pointing out. Yeah, so listen. So Tosfos points out, first of all, if you say that when a person is moida and then edim come later on, he's potter, which is going to be later on, and daf ayin hey, that's going to be the opinion of Rav. Well, then we would have to say that we have to obviously be talking about over here that there are edim of the original theft. Otherwise, if there's no edim of the hoidah, then how is he going to be chayiv in the first place? But now, as far as the specifics of the case, what exactly is he moida versus what is he denying? So the Tosfos Rid explains. Suppose, for example, so these two partners bring edim that we see that this guy went into their reshus and take their ox. They don't know. They didn't know, so they could see. They have edim that he took out an ox, but they don't know for sure whether it was their ox. So now the edim can say it was actually my ox went into their reshus, and I went and told it, and I went and took it, so it was mine all along. Later on, he goes over to one of the shutfim and he says, I agree that actually half the shur belonged to you, however the other half belonged to me. Now, when the other guy comes and says, what are you talking about? The other half belongs to me. He says, no, you don't have any ownership of it at all. It belongs to me and to this other guy that I was moida to. So that would be the case. In other words, so now he's been moida to half of what he did, but not the other half. So now the point is he's moida b'knas, but he's moida in only half the knas. Half to one of them, he's still denying that he's chayev. Which then, if edim come and say that it was that he did steal this animal and that it in fact was not his, then he's going to be chayev to pay to the one that he denied to. Meanwhile, he's going to be potter from paying the one that he admitted to because he was moedib knas. So that's the question. Then, so Rava's question is: do we make him pay for half of the payment? The question is, Chamisha Boker Amar Achmana, Veloy Chamisha Chatzoi Boker, is it the Torah makes a point of saying that he pays he pays five oxen, or the value of five oxen, which means specifically to exclude, there's no case where he paid a value of five half oxen. So in that case, then he would be potter. Maybe it means that even if it's only chamisha chatzoi bakar, in this case, he would be chayev to the partner that he denied. Maybe he would in fact be chayev five times the half of the animal that that partner owns.
Why aren't we asking the guy who he's moided to who his partner really is?
Doesn't matter. I mean, that first of all, he'd be a negeya be'edrus. I don't know that necessarily his edrus would be accepted anyway, but even if his edrus was accepted, fine, you need two edim. If you have two edim, that belongs to the guy. That's what we're talking about over here.
No, but I'm saying this guy who admitted that he stole his behemoth, he knows who his partner really is.
That may be, but nevertheless, so fine. If he brings another aid to Beis Din, then fine. We have maybe what to talk about, but as long as he doesn't bring another aid, just because he says it, is not enough to make the guy pay. And that's what Tosfos points out. After all, we have to have, there were aidim on something over here. If there's no aidim about anything here at all, then obviously him admitting is not going to make him pay anything at all. So we have to be talking about there were aidim that he did take the animal, like the Tosfos Reed says, they're just not certain who it belongs to. Or to begin with, they weren't even certain. They saw him taking out an animal. They didn't even necessarily recognize that this animal belongs to Reuven and Shimon. He goes over to Reuven now and says, you know what? Half of it, Take, is your animal, and therefore I'm admitting to you. But meanwhile, when Shimon comes and says, yeah, the other half of the animal was mine, then the Ganav says, no, the other half of the animal is mine. So that's the question. Is he paying? So to Reuven, he's certainly potter from paying his half because he's moedu b'knas. The question is he chayav to pay Shimon? The question is he chayav to pay the abba b'chamishat to Shimon, or is he potter because in this case it would be that he's only paying five times half the value of the animal, and maybe when the Torah says chamisha bakar, it comes to exclude that case.
Can we tell him, well, if you claim you're the other half owner, prove that you're the other half owner. Meanwhile,
no, it doesn't work that way. If I shecht an animal, I don't have to bring proof that it was my animal. On the contrary, you want to claim, I'm Mitzvah Chavela Baraya, you want to claim that it was your animal, and I should owe you five times the value of it because I shechted it, bring Adris that it was yours.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So that's the question. Omalei, sort of Nachman answers, yeah, Chamisha Bakar, Omer Achmona Volei Chamisha Chatzoi Bakar. When the Torah says five times the animal, it means not five times half the value of the animal. So yes, as a matter of fact, he is going to be potter from paying the other half. He'll be potter from paying the half to Reuven, of course, because for that he's Modi B'Knas, but he'll also be potter from paying the half to Shimon, because the Gzeres HaKosev that he would only have to pay when it's a whole animal that he stole and then shechted. However, the Gemara says, Esve, but Rava said, to Rav Nachman, I have a contradiction. Our Mishnah had said, Gonav Mishal Aviv, you have the case where he stole an animal from his father, or Tavach HaMachar, and then he shechted or sold the animal, V'achakach Mes Aviv, and afterwards his father died, Meshalam Tashlim Abba V'chamisha, so he said he pays the Tashlim Abba V'chamisha, meaning that he's paying the percentage of the Tashlim Abba V'chamisha that has to go to his brothers. Now, isn't that the same kind of thing? V'achakach, given the Mes Aviv, once his father died, and he yarshens him, and now, therefore, he's off the hook for part of the payment because part of the payment belongs to him himself. So, and yet, katoni mishalim tashlum abba b'chamisha. And yet, the Mishnah says, so the equivalent, given the mess of it, once his father died, it's the equivalent of being moida to one of them, because what happened, we said, when you have Reuven and Shimon, and he admits to Reuven, and still denies to Shimon, so therefore he's potter from the part of Reuven now, because he's moida to Reuven, well, now also he's potter from part of it, namely his own part, the part that he yarshens from his father. And yet the Mishnah says, and yet the Mishnah is saying that he has to pay Tashlama Abba Chamisha. So yes, it's not limited to only when it's a whole animal that he's chayav the Tashlama Abba Chamisha for. It would apply even when it's only half the animal or whatever percentage of the animal. Amalei, sort of Nachman answers, that's not a proof from that Mishnah, because Hochab Mayaskin, and the Mishnah is talking about the Gentra Omad Ovid Badin. You're talking about that the father actually went to a din Torah against his son, took his son to a din Torah, and they actually said that he has to pay. So that's different. The case that Rava... No, we're saying that the son had stolen the animal and shechted it, all before the father died. If the father was still alive, no question, he'd be paying him the full tashlama b'al hamisha. So now the father took his son to Beis Din, and the Beis Din said, yep, you have to go pay. So now, in that case, so he already owes it to his father. So now, therefore, so there's no pater in him because now his father dies, because he was already high of this money before his father died. So that's no proof to your case over here where he's pater before it ever went to Beis Din because he admitted to one of them. But Rava says, Rava says, Abba loy omad badin mai. So what are you telling me then? If they hadn't gone to a din Torah, mai, then what would you say? Then you would be saying, you'd be saying he's potter because again, then we're talking about half tashlama abba chamisha, and you're telling me the posik is excluding that. In that case, i.e. hochi, adetoni sefer, well then consider, when it says in the sefer, namely in the Mishnah, the next Mishnah the Mishnah after next, that we're going to have on Ein Dalet Amud Beis, which is going to talk about, so it says, where the Mishnah continues, Gonav Mishal Oviv, if he stole from his father, Ummes, and then the father died, V'achakach Tavach HaMachar, and after that he shechted or stole the animal, Einim Hasham Tashlom HaBav HaMisha, then in that case he does not pay the Tashlom HaBav HaMisha, and the reason for that, we're going to learn later on, and Daf Ayin Dalet, not so much because he has to pay to the Bailim, because after all his brothers are now the Bailim, the reason is because, since he only did the Tvicho Mechira after his father passed away, then the result is he would really only be chayev in two or three times. Two if it was a sheep, three if it was an ox, and you don't have. The Torah says you pay four or five, not two or three. So therefore, so once he's potter on one part, then he's potter on all of it. But in other words, because that's what we're saying. Because his father passed away. Now, after he did Tvicho Mechira, Shaloihu Teveach, Shaloihu Mechira, it's his own animal that he's shechting.
It could be his mother.
It could be his brother, but the fact is he owns part of it. So he owns part of it. See. So he's not chayev for the whole thing. So he's not right. So Rava says, given that the Mishnah says that over there, so Niflu, if you're going to tell me, Rav Nachman, that even when he shechted it while the father was alive, there can be a case where he's potter from Tashlama Abba Chamisha versus a case where he's chayiv, depends whether it went to a din Torah or not. Well then, Niflu, so in that case, Niflu B'didei. So instead, the Mishnah could be, instead of talking about a distinction, whether he shechted before the father died or after it, he should make a distinction within whether the father himself is still alive. When would it apply that he's potter, only that he's chayev, only when Omad Badin, when Beis Din, when he went to Beis Din, and Beis Din already passed him. Avaloy Omad Badin, Enim Hasham, Tashlama, Baba Chamisha. So then in that case, and the fact the Mishnah doesn't make that distinction seems to show that there's no such distinction. So what are you telling me that according to what you're saying in the case with Reuven and Shimon, the two partners, you would, and then you're telling me that in the case of the father and the son, there also would? Amalei, so Rav Nachman answers him, Hochinami, as a matter of fact, it's true, the Mishnah could have made that distinction. It's just the Mishnah didn't, the Tana didn't want to bother. I did not say Bredesha, God of Mishal Aviv, Metavach HaMochav, Achav HaMes Aviv, since the beginning, since our Mishnah had said that he stole from his father, and then he shechted or sold it, and then his father died. So therefore, the Mishnah later on uses the same style and just switches around the different order, rather than bringing in a new distinction between whether Omad Badin or not, which we didn't have in our Mishnah. The Tana just wanted to show the contrast between whether Tavach HaMachar while the father was alive versus after the father died. The Mishnah, the Tana didn't want to get into this level of detail, but nevertheless, we could still say there is that distinction. So that was Rav Nachman's answer. However, Latsafra, the next morning, Omalei, then Rav Nachman changed his mind and said, no, actually, Chamisha Bokar, Omer Nachmana, Va'afilu Chamisha Chatzoi Bokar. That no, when the Torah says five Bokar, four sheep, it means even halves. So yes, in the original case involving the two partners, he would in fact be chayev to pay the four or five times to the one partner that he denied the claim to. So Nachman says,
"V'hai." What did he agree to?
Remember, the one that he agreed to, he's not paying tashlama abav chamisha because that's moed b'knas.
Why is he paying the other half?
Because he denied it. In other words, eventually the guy brings proof. The guy brings Adam that it is in fact his animal, or rather half his animal. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, then we have Adam that he shechted, that he stole it and shechted it, etc. So then the guy is paying it. And Rav Nachman says, you know why I didn't tell you last night, why I gave a different answer last night? Because I had not eaten the meat of, the ox. Now, what do we mean by that? Now, yes, we're all familiar with that the Alter Rebbe brings in Tanya, and it's brought in many places in Chassidus, that a person eats L'shem Shemayim to use the energy for Torah, and therefore, so that's what Rav Nachman means over here. I hadn't eaten a good steak, and therefore I didn't have the presence of mind to answer you. Tosfos says something along those lines, because Tosfos says, Shorei B'tainis Hoyer. Rav Nachman had been fasting the night before, and that's why he didn't have the clarity of mind to answer Rav. And yeah, so not only it talks about the idea why would he be fasting for different reasons, whatever. Anyway, so that's in fact there are places in Chassidus where it talks about even more than that. Not only so you have what the Alter Rebbe points out in Tanya about that a person can be eating L'shem Shemayim and then he's extracting sparks of Dusha from it, etc. You also have in a bunch of places in Chassidus where it talks about why B'chlal did the Eibishter make the world in such a way that each level of creation has to be, German Semeach Chai and Medaber. Why is it the Eibishter made, in particular, the Medaber, the human being, has to live off the lower tiers? Why didn't Hashem make it that a person can live off direct delicose, and then he doesn't need the Domim, the Tzemeach, and the Chai. Why is it that those are what are needed to give a person energy and to make him, as we're saying in the Gemara here, able to understand clearly? And the idea is, so this explains, because, yeah, they come from higher roots, they come from a higher Shodesh in delicose, and they descend further down in our world, and therefore a person, a person doesn't live off the carbohydrates and the proteins and the vitamins and whatnot in the food. Ultimately, a person lives off the Dvar Havaya, off the words of Hashem that are giving that energy into the food, and that's what the person lives off of, and that's why the Eibishter arranged it in that way. With all of that said, though, a number of the Mefarshim here don't understand Rav Nachman to be saying literally that he hadn't eaten meat, but rather metaphorically. Rashi uses the expression, Lo dikdakti taima shel davar. I did not clearly go to analyze the matter in detail. So in other words, the idea would be that he's comparing, he's comparing understanding Torah fully, he's comparing it to eating a juicy piece of meat. We find that metaphor in other places in Shas. We find, for example, a Gemara in Baba Basra, we'll get to it later this year, Vez Hashem, where Rav Adaba Ava says to prospective Talmudim, you have people who are considering, should I go learn by Abaya, should I go learn by Rava? So Rav Adaba Ava would tell them, if you go to Abaya, you're only going to be like gnawing on bones. You're not going to get a gedichte kind of learning. Go to Rava, and there you'll have juicy meat. In other words, Rava has a much more juicy and then filling and then satisfying style of learning and teaching. So according to that, then it would be the same kind of metaphor of Nachman is saying over here, that I didn't really get into the details of this din, of understanding this din. In fact, of course, since we're talking about an ox, he may mean that as well. That's how some Mefarshim also explain that it means. In other words, he's saying, like, this very reason, the meat of this ox, like the very case we're talking about over here of an ox, I didn't get deeply enough into it to understand it fully. Now, in the morning, I understand it more clearly, and therefore I'm giving you a different answer.
I wake up early morning to learn.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then the question is, well, then what is the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Why is it in the Reisha, meaning our Mishnah, when he shechted the animal while his father was alive, then we're making him pay his brothers their portion, even though there was no Din Torah yet? Because again, our Mishnah had not said anything about Omer Vadin. And the reason is because he pays Chamisha Chatzoi Bakr. So why in the Sefer would he be Potter and when he shechted it after his father died? Why doesn't he also have to pay his brothers their portion of it? So that's the question. And in fact, the Rashba explains that Rava is asking, I don't even understand, based on what your Mela, according to what I was asking before, then I would understand the difference between the Mishnayos. But now that you're telling me that in fact, Chamisha Chatzoi Boker, that yes, a person has to pay even when it's only a partial payment. So then we'll tackle what is the difference. Can you please explain to me, Rav Nachman, who was Rava's Rebbe, what is the difference between the Mishnayos? And so he says, Amalei, the difference is, Reisha Korina Be'utvochai Kuloi Be'isura. The difference is, because in our Mishnah, in the Reisha, when the Pasuk said, what is the Pasuk making Machayah for? Is Utvochai because he shechted the animal. So now, when he shechted the animal over here, in our Mishnah, it was all Be'isura. Utvochai, Rashi points out, implies all of it. the entire shchita was accomplished by Isser. And it was, because he didn't have any part of it yet. It still belonged to his father. Sefer, like Kurdin, whereas in the Sefer, we can't say it was all by Isser, because part of that animal belongs to him. So therefore, you can't make him chayev for, therefore you can't make him chayev for any part of it. Therefore, that's why that later Mishnah says that he's potter from the Tashlomah above Hamisha, because when he would be chayev, only when the Tvachoy was completely be'isser. So in the case of the two partners, it was completely be'isser, because in fact, he owned no part of it. Half of it he admits that he didn't own, and the other half he still claims he owned. But in any case, in reality, he didn't own any of it. Here, on the other hand, when he shechts it after his father died, he is a partial owner of it. Therefore, the Torah, so yes, the Torah is telling us Chamisha Chatzoy Bakar, but when is that? When in fact the entire Shechita was Be'isser, and just that there's a different reason, there's a side reason why he shouldn't have to pay the whole thing, namely over here because he was murdered to one of the partners. Over there, the very Tvicha itself was not completely Be'isser because he owns part of the animal being one of the Yoshim. So therefore, so we can't make him chayav for any part of it. So that would be the difference between the two. That would be the difference.
That's only if it wasn't the din yet.
So it went, right. So if it was omer, so it doesn't even have to be omer or din. If he shechted it while his father was alive, that's what the Machin is telling him. If he shechted it while his father was alive, the tvicha was done completely the isser, because he doesn't own any part of the animal yet. It still completely belongs to his father. Then he has to pay. Even if not Omer Badin, even if there was no Omer Badin yet, nevertheless, the fact that he shechted it Kulei Be'isser is enough to make him have to pay. And now, if it was only brought to the din Torah after the father passed away, then yes, he's going to have to pay his brothers their portion, and he keeps the portion that belonged to him as Yerusha for himself.
If they only found out later on, oh, we're missing Jack, and Jack, mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
and we find Adam, then yes, exactly.
So what would happen if there was just one Yerush? He would be chayav?
So if there's one Yerush, that's a good point, actually, because then on the face of it, you can't have that he should earn the whole thing himself. I think we actually talk about, because the Torah makes him to be... So one possibility is maybe, in fact, yeah, I mean, after all, the Torah makes him chayav to pay. Fine, there's nobody to pay to. So it would be the equivalent of, for example, if he had stolen from a ger, and then a ger dies without Yerushim. So there is that possibility. There may also be instead actually that in that case you would have to I'm pretty sure that is how it is. I'm pretty sure in that case then that's it. He gets it because now there's no Tevea. There's nobody to claim it from him. But if there are brothers, then he has to give them their portion.
If he wouldn't be available, the second person would be a brother. You wouldn't pay to a brother.
I'm saying, if there's only one, if he himself...
I'm saying if the father has a brother.
The father has another, because if there's a son, then he yarshins everything. In Bava Basra, where it talks about the dinim of Yerusha, if a person has descendants, then his descendants yarshin everything. Son, daughter, son, daughter, son, b'chola, as it describes over there in great detail. The father or the brother is only come into the picture only if there's no descendants, only if there's no descendants at all.
Either daughter.
Yeah. Okay, Tosfos, by the way, gets into a very long arichos over here about is there b'chlal a concept that a father can bequeath a knas to his children. We find based on other Gemaras that it seems that not, that if a person owed a knas, that if a person was owed a knas and he passed away, then not necessarily does the payment of that knas go to his children. And so Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of that at great length over here, whether in fact that's so, whether maybe there's a difference of different kinds of knasses. There can be a difference between, for example, onus and mefata is maybe a different kind of knas than the knas we're talking about over here, which is purely a monetary matter. And then Tosfos goes into a whole arichos going back and forth about different possibilities with that. Okay. Next thing we said in the Mishnah, shechet benimtzes treifa b'chola. Then we had a case where he shecht the animal and it turns out to be treifa. And we had also, what if it was cholin ba'azar? So we're going to focus in the sugya over here on cholin ba'azar. The Pashtus, the Gemara often does that. Sometimes the Dibra Maschul in the Gemara will be on an earlier part of the Mishnah, and then it'll have Vechula, and it's referring to the later lines. There is actually a Teras Chayim who gives an explanation, we'll discuss a little further on why here the Gemara chose to do that. But anyway, the actual topic of the Sugya from here till the next Mishnah on Amadeus is going to be about Chulin Bazar. Now anyway, so the Mishnah had said, that if he shechted it, then it was Chafer. Or it was Chulin Bazara. We said there was Machloikas of the Tanakh. Chulin Bazara. It means exactly that. He took an animal of Chulin and shechted it in the Azara, so not as a curtain. So the din is also, it's also to eat. And it's also Bahana. We're going to be discussing in the Gemara over here. Is that Isur Dara, Isur Dirabam? In other words, it wasn't. It wasn't a carbon. He never designated it as a carbon. Right. He brought it into the Azara and shechted it. Chulin
right.
means not a carbon.
Right.
So yeah. So it's Osir, but the question is, it's Osir Ba'achila, it's Osir Ba'ana, the question is Daraisa or Darabam, and that's what we're going to take up in the Sylvia over here.
But if it was Cholin, I mean, just, I mean, broadly, you can't say, okay, they go to
the Can he now, can he just make it now?
If he wants in the Azara to make it, well, the Ganav himself can't, because it's not his animal, only if he was Kohen in one of the ways that we discussed earlier in the Perek. But, yes, a person in principle could bring his animal to the Azara and then be makdish there in the Azara. In fact, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that Hillel used to do that. And the Gemara mentions, in fact, when you have the famous story of, because that way there's less of a chance that you'll accidentally use the animal and then commit an ila with it. So you'd be makdish in the Azara right before they shechted it. But in addition, also, the Gemara mentions in Psachim, in that connection, when you have the whole famous story of B'nai B'Seira, and they weren't sure whether you bring the Korban Pesach when Erev Shabbat, when Erev Pesach is Shabbos, and that whole story over there. So then you have the later part of the story. Because you have the question whether it's a Korban Yachid or whether it's a Korban Seva. You know the story. You knew that they weren't sure whether you bring a Korban Pesach when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, and the B'nai B'Seira weren't sure, and then they called in Hillel and he explained to them anyway. So then the Gemara goes on to say, they also have the question, what about if a person forgot to bring his knife, and Hillel wasn't sure because he had gotten angry at them, and Bolach Bal Kas, Bolach Bal Tos. So he said the Jewish people are B'nai Nevi'im, and they saw that everybody was bringing, if they had a sheep, they were bringing the knife tucked into the wool, and if it was a goat, they had it tucked between the horns, and Hillel realized, and he remembered, yes, this is how it's supposed to be. So now the Gemara there in Pesachim deals with the question, wouldn't that be using the Kodshim for Avoida, and you can't do that? And the answer is that, like that, that they could be Makdashit only after they bring it into the Azara. So we see there is such a concept. You can be Makdashit after you bring it into the Azara, but it has to be before the animal is shechted, that it has to be Kodshim, otherwise it becomes also Bahana. The Beis Mikdash maybe didn't necessarily have enough knives, but yeah, it was a common thing that people would bring their own knives for Shita. We find other places in Shas where that kind of thing is also implied, yeah. So now we're going to be focusing on Chulin Ba'azara. So anyway, we said in the mission there was Machloikas, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. The Chachamim, the Tanakama held that it is, that the Tanakama held that he is Chayav Tashlom Abba B'chamisha. Reb Shimon had said no because Shchita Shein Ru'uya, because the Shchita that can't result in the animal being eaten, because it's Shreifa, or because it's also as Chulin Ba'azara as the case may be, and therefore that he said he holds Shchita Shein Ru'uya, Lo Shma Shchita, that that's not considered a valid Shchita, which we talked about that the other day, and we're going to talk about it more in the Gemara later on. The halacha is actually that shchita shein ruya is shma shchita, so which comes up in various places in Shas. That the halacha is, even though it was a shchita shein ruya, it is still shma shchita. It is a valid shchita, and therefore not. It's a valid shchita in the sense that you can eat it, of course not, but in the sense that it has the dinim of shchita as it's relevant to various halachas all over Shas. Here it would mean hischay b'tashlom abal b'chamisha. It would mean, for example, that you kisi adam. It would mean that it would mean if it was cholin ba'azara, then it would be also b'hana, etc. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Chavivi Mechozna L'Rav Ashi." So Rav Chavivi Mechozna asked Rav Ashi that in our Mishnah. Now, so what are you telling us? So you have this case: the Ganav stole the animal, he brings it to the Azara, and he shechts it in the Azara. And according to the Tanakama, and this is the halacha, he's chayiv tashlom abav chamisha. Shma mina, does that mean we can deduce from our Mishnah, yesh nalash shchita elu lasoy? We have to consider that the definition of shchita is only when you finish the shchita. Now you have, there comes a point, you start the shchita, you start cutting through, you have to remember, with an animal, you need to cut through the majority of both major pipes in the neck in order for it to be a proper shchita. You have the windpipe and you have the esophagus, and you have to cut through the majority, at least 50% plus a little bit, in order of both of them, in order for the shchita to be kosher. Now, do we consider that when the knife starts touching those parts, then we say the shchita process begins then, and it ends when he's finished, when he's gone through the 51% of them, or do we maybe say that the shchita is defined only when he reaches that stage of 51%? Our Mishnah seems to imply Einu l'shchita elu l'vasoif. So therefore, in other words, as long as, so up until that point, until he reaches the Gemar shchita, the animal is not yet chulin v'azara. Therefore, it still belongs to the original owner, and therefore, in other words, you have at the same moment that it becomes Cholin Ba'azara and becomes Asa Ba'ana is the same moment when now he's removing it from the Rishus of the original owner. And then, so because in other words, the point is, Rav Chavivi Mechazna is saying, now, if we were going to say that no, the shchita is that from the beginning until the end of the process, it's all considered part of the shchita, then you have a problem. Given the shachat apurta osra, as soon as he starts shechting even a little bit, he makes it osra as cholin ba'azara. And the result is when he does the rest of the shchita, and only at the end, only when he finishes the shchita, does it become also bahana. So it comes out, or no, the other way around, rather. It comes out that once he shechted it a little bit, he makes it chulun ba'azara. If we're going to say yeshna the shchita mitzvah ba'azara, then it means from the beginning of the shchita, already it becomes chulun ba'azara. Now it's also bahana. At that point, when he finishes the shchita, it doesn't belong to the original owner anymore, such that we could say he should be chayev for shechting it. The same kind of logic as we had throughout the parak so far. We had, for example, the idea, shaloi hu teveach, shaloi hu moicher. If, for example, he himself was koina the animal in one of the valid ways of kinyan, then in one of the valid ways that a ganav is koina the thing, and where now he doesn't have to give back the original thing, just the value of it. And we say at that point, if he shechts it or sells it, he's not chayev at hashlama above hamisha anymore because it's his own animal that he's shechting or selling. Here we have the opposite problem. If he makes it osabahana, the moment he starts shechting it, then it doesn't belong to the original owner anymore. So what is there tashlama above hamisha to be talking about paying? Necessarily says Rav Chavivi.
Doesn't matter if it takes a sheep or.
No, it doesn't matter. We're talking about a sheep or an ox, yeah.
I'm saying they still have to pay for.
No, but he'd have to pay the shlomo kefal, but we're talking about the shlomo bab chamisha. That's what we're asking. That's what Rav Chavivi is asking.
If
he sells or shechted, he's chayev. But that's what Rav Chavivi is saying over here. Here he shechted it, and his shchita makes it also bahana.
Okay.
Unlike a normal shchita, which makes it mutter to eat, here the shchita has the opposite effect. It makes the animal also bahana. The problem is, if we're going to say, so fine, if we say, if we say, when he starts shechting that animal, it has not yet become cholin bazar. The moment he gets to the end of the shchita, he's made it cholin bazar. Fine, that same moment is when it's considered that he accomplished the shchita, so therefore you can be mechayev him for the shchita, because up until that point, even as he was cutting through the two pipes over there, it still belonged to the original owner. But if you're going to tell me, yeshna the shchita mitzvah adzoi, then you'd have a problem that as soon as he started shechting, he made it also bahana, now it doesn't belong to the owner anymore, so then what is he, why are we making him pay tashlama above chamisha at all?
Why making the osabana takes away the balabai?
Because that's the thing. If it's osabana, it means he doesn't have enough. It means he's not allowed to have enough. It means it doesn't belong to him anymore, in effect. The same way as we had previously, we shechted a shor hamiskol. We had the same consideration. You can't even mechayev him when he shechted a shor hamiskol when it's osabana. There's nothing to pay for the value of the shor hamiskol. So here we have the same kind of situation. So that's what Rav Chavivi is asking. Omalei Rav Huna Brei D'Rava. So Rav Huna Brei D'Rava. And by the way, the Torah Chaim mentions a point over here. Now, further on in the sugya, we're going to talk about this machlokas whether Chulin Ba'azara is also Da'araisa or Da'rabon. Now, we learned yesterday in connection with when the animal was shechted on Shabbos, whether it's also to eat or not. We have a three-way machlokas, whether when a person does a malacha on Shabbos for food, whether the food is also forever or not, depending whether it was a shoyug or mamezid, where one distinction we pointed out over there is it depends whether it's also daraisa or darabanan, because when it's also darabanan, yes, it may be also to eat, but that doesn't mean that it becomes, that it's completely not the property of the original owner anymore, because maybe darabanan, the fact that they make it also, we talk about gavra versus chefza, we talk about other distinctions maybe that make it, that it's not considered that it was a shchita shein ru'uya. It's not considered that it's actually completely out of his reshus in that sense. Well, then the Torah Chaim says, so maybe you could say, very simple, our Tana of our Mishnah holds that Chulin Ba'azara is also only Dirabanan. So then in that case, that would be why he's chayiv. It doesn't matter whether yeshna b'shchita mitchilav ad soif or not. So he says that actually, that's the point. The reason why the caption in the Gemara was Ashrocha Benimtzis Tzreifa, given that we're dealing with Cholim Shenishchatu Ba'azara, why didn't the Gemara caption this section with Shashrocha Cholim Ba'azara? Because the Gemara wants to hint to us the same way as Ashrocha Benimtzis Tzreifa, and he's Chayef Tashlama Abav Chamisha, the Tana is saying, even though it's Shchita Sheinu Ru'uya, and obviously there it's Einu Roy Daraisa, the same way over here, when it comes to Cholim Ba'azara, the Tana wants us to know he holds, according to the opinion, that it is also Daraisa. So therefore, so then there's nothing to talk about, that it might be only did Rabbanan. So therefore, back to the question, that the only way to make it work would be if we say, Ya'ein al-Shchita el al-Vasod. So, Omelet of Huna Breda Rabba, not necessarily is that a proof. You could say, Yeshna al-Shchita metchil avansov, because you could say, in other words, that yes, it becomes also right when he starts shechting it, because chulin v'azara. Nevertheless, you could say, ki kamachayev ahahu purta. You know what he can be machayev the tashlum abav chamisha for that beginning of the shechita. So he's not chayev only when the shechita finishes. He's chayev when he started the shechita process. So the same way, in other words, you could say, in other words, that the same way as the isur of chulin v'azara starts when he starts the shechita process. So fine, maybe that the chiyuv of tashlum abav chamisha also begins when he begins the shechita process. So that's fine. We can say yeshna the shechita mitzvah of adzoy. As soon as he begins the shechita, both things kick in at the same time. Rav Ashi, but Rav Ashi says to Rav Huna, Rava, Loi Tidchi, don't try to use that to push off what Rav Chavivi is saying. Rav Chavivi does have a very good point. After all, the Pasuk says, that he shechts it, kuloi be'in, and that would imply that you need a complete shechita. Not just the beginning of shechita, you need something that will be considered a fully valid shechita. And that means both simanim, the letter. And here you don't have it, because what you're saying is that even by the beginning of the shechita, he already becomes chayiv. And no, he only becomes chayiv by the end. So yes, your Chavivi has a very good point. If you're going to say ein al shechita elo v'soif, then that works. But if you say yeshna v'shechita mitzvah v'soif, then you have a problem. So the Gemara says, El Akasha. Well, then that is a problem then. The fact is, we're going to have soon a machloikas amuroyim whether yeshna l'shchita mitzchil avadzoif or not. Rabbi Yochanan is going to hold yeshna l'shchita mitzchil avadzoif. If our Mishnah holds ein l'shchita el avadzoif, then it's going to be a contradiction on Rabbi Yochanan. So how do we work that out? Amalei, so Rav Ashi answers, Hochi Omer Rav Gamda Meshmei de Rava. This is what you should know. This is what Rav Gamda said in the name of Rava. The case would have to be, when is he chayiv? When he shechted Cholot Ba'azara, Kugan Sheshochat Mikta Simonim Bachutz. He shechted some of the Simonim. He started shechting through the Simonim outside the Azara. Then the Gomran Bifnim, then he finished off. Then he finished it off. He brought the animal inside the Azara and finished the Shechita. Well, then fine. So he was shechting Cholin outside the Azara. So the beginning of the Shechita did not yet assur the animal because it's Cholin outside the Azara. Good. That's where you're supposed to shecht Cholin. Now he brought it into the Azara and finished the Shechita. So then you have, again, the Isur of Cholin Ba'azara and the point when he makes himself Chayiv with Hashlama Abav Chamisha come at the same time. So good. That would be the case where he's Chayiv.
That'd be a kosher shechita. You start one place and
it out. Yeah, it would be in principle. Yeah. So you have one of the five things that pasul shechita is called shehiyah, where you delay right in the middle of the shechita. First of all, it could be, let's say, he's walking along and then bringing the animal with him. But besides that, technically shehiyah, there's a minimum amount of time that shehiyah has to last in order for the shechita to be possible. So Gemara discusses it in Chulin and in detail. He was not the place for it, but whatever. There is a minimum amount of time. So here you can have. He was standing like, you know, one step outside the Azara, and he started shechting. Then he brought in the animal, and he finished, and there wasn't enough time for Shehiyah to pass all the shechitas. Yeah, it is in principle possible. So that would be an answer. So yes, you can say that the Tana of our Mishnah can still say Yeshna the Shechita Mitzchil Avadzoi. So that way the Mishnah doesn't contradict Rabbi Yochanan. But nevertheless, he's still Chayev because here we're talking about that only the end of the Shechita is what made the animal Aser, because that's what took place in the Azara. Fine, that end of the Shechita is also what made him Chayev in Tashlama Abav HaMishnah. Okay, the Gemara says, Ikat Masni Lo'acho. Now there are others who learned that this discussion and the proof from the Mishnah actually went on a different discussion. That the discussion started differently, not on our Mishnah, but started on a different point, and then our Mishnah was brought in connection with it. So Ikat Masni Lo'acho. Amr Rav Shimon, Meshum Rav Levi Sava, Rav Shimon, meaning Rav Shlokish, Rav Shimon ben Lokish, it says here on the side it should be, says, Meshum Rav Levi Sava, Ein al Shchita Elo Vasoy. The concept of Shchita only applies when you finish the Shchita. And that is, and the Nafkimina we'll talk about in a second. Rav Yechanan says the entire Shchita process is considered part of the Shchita. Now, what's a nafkamina of it? Rashi points out, for example, we know that when a person is shechting kodshim, we know that if he has various wrong intentions in mind, then he passels the korban. He can make it possel, he can make it even pigle, whatever, depending what kind of machshava it was. And there are four avodas of the korban during which such thoughts will passel the korban, and one of those avodas is shchita. So now, do we say yeshen al shchita metchilav ad soif or not? So suppose he has a thought at the beginning of the shchita. He has in mind, for example, that I'm going to eat some of the meat of this korban tomorrow, which is whatever the reason he is, or tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow, if we're talking about shlomim, whatever. The point is that makes the animal piggle. So that kind of thought, if he has that thought in mind during one of the four avodas, it makes the korban piggle, and a person eats from that korban is chayiv kares. Now, so that's the question. If he has that thought in mind only at the beginning of the shchita, is that enough to make him piggle or not? According to the Shlokish, no. Because ain of the shchita el of the soif. The fact that he had that thought in mind when he started the shchita doesn't matter. According to Rabbi Yechonon, yeshen al shchita mitzkalavad soif, therefore it is going to be considered piggle.
If there's two people shechting, it's possible.
Two people shechting is a whole other matter. By kodshim, you can't have two people shechting together. By kodshim, if I remember correctly, you can't have two people shechting anyway in the first place. There's nothing to talk about. But you have Masechtas Zvachim. Whatever. Masechtas Zvachim talks about all those things in great detail. We'll get to it a couple of years from now. Bez Hashem. Right now we're in Yeshuas and Seder Nezikin. When we get to Chochmas, which is Seder Kodshim, then we'll be talking about this in great length, Bez Hashem. But yeah. Anyway. So you have that Naftamina. Whether Ein Lashchita El Vasoif or whether Yeshin Lashchita Mitzchil Vad Soif. So now, according to the second version, this, it was not on our Mishnah, but rather on this Machloka Samurayim, that Rav Chavivi Mechazna points out to Rav Ashi, Lema Kasav Rav Yechanan Cholin Shenishchat Avazara Lav Mitlav Darais. Does that mean that Rav Yechanan holds that Cholin Shenishchat Avazara are not also Daraisa, only Drabanan, which now there's Machloka on that point in Masech Kedushin? And Tosfos points out that Rabbi Yochanan himself holds that it is also Daraisa. However, based on what Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here, it sounds like you have to hold that it's not Daraisa. Because again, back to our Mishnah, De'isakadaydach Daraisa. If Rabbi Yochanan held that it is also Daraisa, then you have the same problem, like we said before. Miki shochet b'purta osra. As soon as he starts shechting, it becomes also a schol in Ba'azara, because yeshna l'shchit metchil v'adzoif. Idach lav the mara katavach, and we shech the rest of it. It doesn't belong to the owner. So how can we chayv hashlomi abav chamisha? So the only way to make that work would be if Rabbi Yechanan holds that it's only also drabbanon. We're being also drabbanon is not a reason to be mako on the ganev and say therefore that it's considered out of the reshus of the owner and he gets away with not having to pay. But yet again, Rabbi Yechanan himself learns elsewhere that it is also daraisa. So what does that mean? Omer of Acha Breder Rava. So Rav Acha Breder Rava answers Rav Chabibi. No, because Ki Kama Chayev Nami Ahohu Pota. You could say like Rav Huna Breder Rava said on Omer Aleph that it means that he's Chayev for that. He's Chayev for that little bit. As soon as he starts shechting, it becomes Chol and Bazara. At that moment, also he's Chayev for Tashlama above Chamisha. And Omele Rav Ashi, and again Rav Ashi says to Rav Acha Breda Rava, Loi Tidchei, don't try to push off Rav Chavivi's question. It's a very good question, because like we said, Utvachai, Kulei Be'in, and when it says Utvachai, implies that you have to have shechted the whole thing, not just part of it. The Lekka, and here you don't have, because here he only began the Shkita. Well, we have the same question as before, El Akasha. Well, then we're left with the problem, then what does Rav Yechanan hold? And the answer is Omele, so Rav Ashi answers him, Haki Amar of Gamne Meshmei Derava, Kika Machayev. Again, when would be the case that he's Chayev when he shechts Chulin Ba'azara, to then Sheshachat Nikta Simonim Bachutz, when he shechted some of the Simonim outside the Beis Nikdash, outside the Azara, the Gomron Bifnim, and then he finishes off the Shchita inside the Azara. So then we can say that you do have the Utvachai, he is Chayev for the finishing of the shechting, and yet, even though ain of shchita, and even though yeshna of shchilim shchita mitzchilav adzoif, when did it become cholin bazara? Only with the end of the shchita, only at that moment he also becomes chayiv b'tashlama abav chamisha, because again it has to be utvachoy. There was a complete shchita, and therefore yes, cholin shenishchat bazara can be also daraisa, and it all works out. So it works out, and Rabbi Yechanan is not contradicting himself, and Rabbi Yechanan and what Rabbi Yechanan is saying fits with the Mishnah. There is some discussion that maybe in fact maybe in fact you could talk about that maybe Daraisa it's also only ba'achila and Darabonin it's also ba'hanah as well. So that you'd have to figure out how that works with our sugya over here where it seems that we're talking about even that the Isur Hanah is Daraisa already. But okay. Mishnah says, Gonav al-Pishnayim, suppose a person stole an animal and there were two edim that he stole. The Tobach al-Machar al-Pihim. And then those same edim say that he also shechted afterwards or stole it. The Nimtzu is Zoymin. Now it comes out that these edim are edim Zoymin. And we know edim Zoymin is other edim come and say, Imanu ha-Yisem, b'makom ploini, you were with us elsewhere at that time, you can't possibly say this edus. Keep in mind, by the way, the second edim are not saying we say that the thing didn't happen. Maybe it happened, maybe he didn't. Maybe he stole this animal, maybe he didn't. Maybe he shechted it, maybe we didn't. But you can't say edus on it because you were with us b'makom ploini. It's someplace else. And we know the Torah tells us that we believe the second set of edim, which, as the Gemara is going to point out, is a little bit of a chidush, according to one way of looking at it, because why should we believe the second set of Eidim more than the first?
Oh.
So it's Xeris HaKosev that it does, see. So here, Benimtsu Zomim, it comes out that they were Mizomim, Mishalmin HaKol. So now they have to pay the entire thing. So they have to pay. So Basis and Loikasha Zomam, they wanted to make them pay four times the value of the sheep or five times the value of the ox. Here, they were Eidim Zomim, therefore they have to pay the entire four or five times to the guy that they were trying to accuse and base.
Eidim Zomim is like false.
Eidim Zomim means more than false. It means that they were Huzam. It means that they were a good word, more than contradicted. There's Hakosha and there's Hazam. Hakosha would be like this. Reuben and Shimon come to Beis Din and they testify that Yankel stole something. Now, Reuben, Levi and Yehuda come and say, let's say, for example, they say, no, Yankel was with us in another place at that time, and therefore he couldn't have done it. That's called Hakosha. We don't believe either set of Edim, or essentially what we do is we say, the Gemara calls it Uki Tre, Lahadi Tre, two against two. We don't know which one to believe, so we just throw the whole thing out. Yankel is free to go, and there's nothing, there's no Hazama, there's no nothing. Hazama is something else. Reuven and Shimon come and say Yankel stole. Levi and Yehuda come and say, maybe Yankel stole, maybe not. But you testified that he did it in New York on such and such a day, but you were with us in California on that day. So never mind whether Yankel did it or not in New York on this day, but you weren't there to testify to anyone. Then the Torah tells us the first set, Reuben and Shimon, are called Edim Zomim. And we have a special rule, Vasisim, like Tacha Zomim. The Torah tells us, believe the second set of Edim. That's a Jairus Akosti. That's what we're going to talk about in the Gemara. And therefore, the result is, Vasisim, like Tacha Zomim, Reuben and Shimon, we give them whatever penalty they were trying to make on Yankel. So in this case, they're testifying that Yankel stole. They're the ones who are going to have to pay instead the value they wanted to deprive him of. They're the original Edim. They're Reuven and Shimon. If they were testifying that Yankel broke Shabbos, which would make him Chayav Stila, then they get Stila, etc. That's what the Torah says. Vasisim like Hashazama. The first set of Edim, who will turn out to be false Edim, because the second set of Edim. The first set of Edim Zomim, because they testified falsely that Yankel did such and such when they weren't in town on that day to see Yankel doing it. So now the second set of Edim came and said that's how it is. So therefore the first set of Edim are punished with Vasisim Loi Kasher Zomim. We do to them whatever they would have wanted to do to the person.
One's the second one's Edim Zomim.
If the second one's also Edim Zomim, we'll learn about that in Masechta Makkos. We'll learn about that in Masechta Makkos, Rez Hashem. We'll talk about such details. We'll get to that next year, Rez Hashem. Let's help talk right now.
Well, then, but
Edim Zomim
means false.
So that's what I'm saying. Zomim is more than false. Zomim literally means plotting. It means they plotted to give false edus in a way where it turns out they weren't even edim. They weren't even because they weren't there.
Right.
The whole concept of edus is that they weren't there. So there's more than
we stop interrupting? Hello? Can we stop interrupting Alexander, please?
Let's go on. I mean, this is all in order to explain so people will understand what Edim Zomim are. Okay, so again, here it was the same set of Edim that said that he stole and that he shechted or sold, therefore they're chayav for the entire four or five. Very simple. Now what about Gonav al-Pishnayim v'tovach al-Marcha al-Pishnayim acherim? What about if Reuven and Shimon came and said that he stole the animal, and then Levi and Yehuda came and said that he shechted it or stole it? or sold it. The Elu and Elu the Elu Nimsu Zomin. What if both sets of Edom turn out to be Edom Zomin? So we can't be Mechayev any of them for the entire four or five, because the first set, after all, we're only going to be Mechayev him Kepel. Only the last set we're going to be Mechayev him, we're going to be Mechayev him more. So therefore, so Harishonim Meshamet Hashlomei Kepel, so the first set of Edom have to pay the Kepel, because that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to say that he's Chayev Hashlomei Kepel. V'achronim Meshamet Hashlomei Gimel, and the last set pay the other three, or if it was a sheep, then they're paying the other two. So, because that's exactly it. The first set of Edom wanted to say that he's Chayev Kepel. The second set wanted to say, in addition, that he's Chayev another two or three times. So therefore, so they're the ones, they only have to pay that. Now, Rashi points out, it has to be the order in which they were Muzam is important. If Reuven and Shimon first were Huzam, then the whole Edus is bottled. Because what happens if Levi and Yehuda come to Beis Din, and just, if Levi and Yehuda just come to Beis Din and say, we saw Yankel shafting an animal, that's nothing. Beis Din doesn't tell them it was his animal. What's your point? Bring us some proof that that is a problem. So it has to be that there was first Reuven and Shimon testifying that he stole the animal. Then Levi and Yehuda's testimony that he shechted it means something. So therefore, it would have to be, in order for Levi and Yehuda to be chayev to pay anything, it has to be that first Edom came and were mazim Levi and Yehuda and said imonu hayisim. Now, after that, other Edom come and are mazim Reuven and Shimon, or even the same Edom, whatever, and say imonu hayisim also. If, on the other hand, Edom had been mazim Reuven and Shimon first, then Beis Din would just throw out the whole case. They would say, fine, Reuven and Shimon, you're chayev to pay the Shlomo Kepel, because you wanted to say that he should be chayev to Shlomo Kepel for stealing, and really, you weren't there. However, we can't be chayev Levi and Yehuda to pay anything, because without Reuven and Shimon's Edus, Levi and Yehuda's Edus doesn't mean anything.
Oh, because nothing was stolen.
Because nothing was stolen, right. So therefore, so it would have to be, so the order was, Reuven and Shimon came and testified that Yankel stole, Levi and Yehuda came and testified that he shechted, then Edom came and said, Levi and Yehuda, imonu hayisem, and now other Edom come and say to Reuven and Shimon, also imonu hayisem. So that would be the case. Now we have that both sets of Edom Zomin have to pay. The first set, Reuven and Shimon, pays the kefil, the last set pays the remaining two or three. What about Nimsu Achronim Zomin? What about if only the second set of Edom turned out to be Edom Zomin? Who Meshalem Tashlomei Kepel? Well, then the Ganav himself, Yankel, still has to pay the Tashlomei Kepel, because after all, we have Edom that he stole. So therefore, he's hired to pay the Tashlomei Kepel. But the Hei Meshalem Tashlomei Shloisha, the second set of Edom, are going to be paying the extra three times, because the Ganav himself is still hired for the Tashlomei Kepel. He stole. Or at least we have Edom that he stole, unless we're mazim them. But the second set of Edom, who said that he shechted it, we were mazim them, they were trying to deprive him of another three times the value of the animal, and therefore they have to pay that three times to the owner of the animal. What about, or not to the owner of the animal, sorry, actually to the person, to Yankel, who they were trying to be mazim, or they were trying to accuse, rather.
So what about them, like, each of them have to pay 100?
So we're saying, so here. Let's say, so the animal was worth $100. Reuven and Shimon testify that Yankel stole this animal worth $100. At that point, he's chayev kepel. Levi and Yehuda come and testify that he shechted that animal. If their edus is true, then he would have to pay altogether $500. He'd have to be paying $200 to the original owner. New, because $500 is five times 100. Now, we're saying if the second set of edim turned out to be zomin and the first not, so the first edus was still upheld. He did steal the animal. Therefore, he's chayev $200 for that. He's chayev kepel. Meanwhile, the guy Yankel, who they're accusing, stole. Meanwhile, the Edom Zomin, Levi, and Yehuda are going to pay $300 to Yankel because they tried to make him have to pay $300 to somebody else.
Yankel.
They paid Yankel because they accused him. And they're Edom Zomin against him.
But he stole.
He stole, therefore he's chayev to the original owner of the animal. But nevertheless, they were testifying falsely against him that he's chayev an extra $300. Therefore, they pay it to him. Yeah, that's how Edom Zomin works.
And they both with him together, they have to pay this?
Yeah, they pay, yeah, Mishal Shin Menei. No, it means the two of them together. Between the two of them, they pay $300. Each one pays $150. Continues the Mishnah. Echad min ha'achronim zomin. What happens if only one of the last set of Edos becomes zomin? Now, the problem is like this. Not the problem. The issue is like this. You need two Edim in order for an Edos to be valid. Generally, one Ed is not enough. On the other hand, for the din of Hazama to be done, the concept that we say, Vasisim Lokash Hazamam, only happens if we're mazim both of them. If other Edom come and say, Levi, you were with us, we're not complaining, but Yehuda, they do not. We don't have an Edus over here, but on the other hand, we don't penalize Levi either, because only that would be only if Levi and Yehuda were both had testimony against any Manu HaYisem. So therefore, so the result is, so Echad min HaAchronim Zomim, but La Edus, Shia. So now we have the second Edus is canceled out. So therefore, so now the Yankel, the Ganav is paying Tashlum Kefil, and that's it. There's no extra Tashlumin because there's no Edim that he checked at the animal.
What should be one of the partners of the second one?
No, so that's the thing. We don't penalize either of the second set of Edim because we only do that because only one of them was Muzam. We only penalize them only. It has to be Adshi Yizoymu Kulan. It has to be the entire Edus was Muzam and not just one of them.
So therefore,
there's no punishment at all. Basically, can probably do something extra legal to him or whatever, and we're going to talk about whether he's possible in a minute, but he's possible later afterwards. So there's no payment. So Yankel is paying his tashlum and kefil, and that's it. Things stop there. If it turns out that one of the first set of Edom is Zomin, and again, not both of them, if both of them were, then they'd have to pay, but since it was only one of them, Butla Kola Edus, then the entire Edus is Butla. If there's no Edus on the Gneva, then the Tvicha and Mechira is meaningless, so therefore nobody's paying anything. Please. Okay. So the Gemara starts a discussion which is going to relate back to our Mishnah.
Sorry, can I just clarify? You're saying is Edom come. Now, the Zenim, if I know Zenim, they have to pay whatever they want.
They have to pay whatever they wanted to make the other guy, yeah.
So pretty much they're paying for Yankel.
Sometimes they're paying completely on his behalf. Sometimes they're paying only one half of it. Only part of it, yeah. The general rule is whatever they wanted to make him pay is what they have to pay instead.
Malchus,
and they get Malchus. Misa, they get Misa, they get Misa. Karis, you don't testify in base that somebody's high of Karis. You testify in base that somebody's high of penalty from base. Right. Whatever. You'll learn Masechta Makas. You'll learn about all these details. Best Hashem. We'll get to Masechta Makas sometime next year. Best Hashem. It's Mar. So the Gemara says we have a discussion of Amiroyim about Edim Zayn. Eid Zayn. Abaya Amalama Freya Hu Nifsal. So Abaya says, now consider like this. Consider a case, they gave Edus in Nisan. In Ir, Edim came and said that they're Edim Zomim. So now, from what point on do we say that their Edus is possible? For sure their Edus is possible because they're Rishoyim, because they testified falsely, and therefore they're possible Edus until eventually they have to get Malkus, so there's various other ways in which they can become Koshal Edus eventually, but whatever the case. Now they're possible Edus. Abaya Omlam Afreya, who Nifso, Abaya says they're possible retroactively to when they gave the Edus. So in other words, in our case, they testified in Nissan about, let's say, that Yankel stole. Meanwhile, later on in Nissan, for example, they gave Edos that Reuven sold Shimon a field, or they gave Edos that on something else, or whatever. So Abaya is saying now, eventually in Eo, we find that they were Edom Zomim. Abaya is saying all the way back to when they gave that Edos their posel, therefore that Edos that they're saying up, for example, they signed on a document that Reuven sold a field to Shimon, their posel of Edom, and therefore that Edos is no good. Rava Amar Mikanol Abohunif. So Rava says, no, they're only possible from now and onward. So from when the Hazama takes place, from when they're caught, is when they're possible, but not from before that. By the way, why are we using the expression Eid Zomim in the singular? Tosfos points out in Sanhedrin, which is the main place we have this machlokas, that because in our Mishnah we said they only get the penalty only if both of them are Zomim. Nevertheless, if we're saying that even if only one of them was Muzam, other Edom and Taman said, Imanu HaYisim, about only one of them, you would still have the same machlokas, Abaya and Rava. Fine, the punishments for Edom Zomim you're not going to have unless both of them. But nevertheless, we can still talk about, we see now, obviously, there was a false aid because he was clearly contradicted by other Edom. Therefore, that's enough to passel him for Edos in the future. And then the question is it only for the future or is it even in the past? So, what's the basis behind the machlokas? Abaya Omlam Afrehu Nifso, because Me'ahu Shaita to Asid, Abaya takes the view from when he gave the Edus, Havalei Rosha. At that point, he was a Rosha, because he was giving, as we find out now, that he was giving false Edus. Va'atoda Omra al Toshis Rosha Aid. The Torah says you're not allowed to have an aid, you can't have a Rosha as an aid. The actual expression in the pasuk is Al Toshis Yodcha Im Rosha Lias Aid Hamas. The Gemara, as it often does, is kind of paraphrasing the pasuk a little bit. So that's Abaya's logic. Rava Amar, Kadala Abahu Nipsel. Rava says, no, it's only from now on that I'll be Nipsel. Because look, Eid Zomim Chidushu. Because after all, Rava says, the whole concept of an Eid Zomim is a big Chidush. There are Treyu Treyim. After all, you have two Eidim against two Eidim. Usually, we say, two against two, they cancel each other out. My chos is tzayis lahani, tzayis lahani. So what's the logic that you should say you listen to the second set? Why shouldn't you listen to the first set and say the second set are lying? Hilkach, aimlet, so there's a whole concept that you do hazama and that you believe the second set of Edom and you even punish the first ones on that basis. The whole thing is a chidush. So therefore, hilkach, aimlet, habay, alamashas chidush ve'elach. So therefore, only from when the chidush takes place, only from the hazama and onward, only then can we say that he's possible, but not from before that. So Robert is saying, now Tosfos actually discusses the question. I mean, we're saying that because we're saying that they're Adam Zomin and the whole thing is a Chiddush. Well, then in that case, then maybe the Chiddush is, they're not even possible Adus. Maybe we should only apply, the Torah says Asher Zom, Kasher Zomam, and that's that. Maybe we shouldn't even possible them Adus. And the answer is because, look, Tosfos says, if the second set of Edom are believed even to execute this first set, or to make them get Malkus, or whatever, Alachas Kama Vakama, they're believed to say that they are liars, and therefore they're possible in the future for Edos. So fine, Rava has no problem with that. His problem is only because the whole thing is a Chiddush, why should we passel them from when they gave the testimony before we ever even knew that they were Edom Zayn?
And if there's a third set, we're going to the third set?
And forget third sets. We'll talk about that in Malkus, that's Hashem. Let's focus on the two sets we have now. Okay, Ikadami, others say that there was a different reason for Rava's Shitta. So again, the first reason we had for Rava's Shitta is because the whole thing is a Chiddush and therefore we should minimize how long this Chiddush lasts. The second version is Ikadami, Rava Nami Kabai Svirale. Rava does basically hold like Rava, the Amala Mafreya Hu Nifsel, that they should be possible Mafreya. They should be possible Mafreya because, like Abaya says, we know now that the original Eidos was false. V'hocha haim time de Rava. However, the reason why Rava wants to say that they should be possible only in Tanel Abba, Mishum Pseidu L'Kuchas. The reason is because otherwise people who bought property are going to lose out. Consider, for example, a person bought property. Oh, sorry, right. It goes a little bit past what you have. A person bought property, he took Edom, he, as far as he knew, these are perfectly, afterwards, you have, so what are we saying? This guy gave Edos in Nissan. In Eo, we discovered that he's an Edzonim. Meanwhile, later on in Nissan, some poor fellow went and bought property, and he needed Edom for his shtar. He needed Edom for his shtar, so he went and got Edom to sign his shtar. And now all of a sudden he finds out that the Edom are zoning in and therefore his shtar is going to be possible and the poor guy, he's going to lose out over here because he thought he had a perfectly good shtar and now it turns out that he doesn't. So Rava says that would be a reason why not to possible them retroactively so as not to cause that loss. Now Tosfos points out that
the whole thing actually was true.
That one whole thing. No, he had Edom there when he bought the property. So he had Edom there when he bought the property, and then he had the Edom sign the shtar. He didn't know that they're possible yet. So Rava is saying, don't make them possible as of then, and then it turns out that he loses out. Instead, say that they're possible from now on. In Inyan, in other words, according to the second version, he would agree with Abaya. Now we know that originally they testified falsely, therefore they ought to be possible. However, we don't want to make Lekuchus lose out. Tosfos points out that Yesh Mefoshim, Tosfos says that would be only when we have Edim Mesira who know that the Shtar is true. Because after all, if all we have is Edim Chasima, all we have is the Edim that signed it, the problem is now we know those Edim are apostles, so what are we going to do? Tosfos says that no, because then the Gemara is going to point out one Nafkamina between them. If you're going to tell me that you have that distinction, whether it's Edim Mesira, then there's a lot of Nafkaminas. So no, we look at the Edim on the Shtar. The fact is, Rava is saying we can't passel them retroactively because then you're going to have the Lekuchus lose out. Now, what about the Ran points out? Well, why don't you have the other? Why are the Chacham only looking out for the Lekuchus? Why aren't the Chacham looking out for the seller? Maybe we should tackle be concerned. There was no sale here at all. Because we're talking about the Lekeach has the character and he has a shtar, so there obviously was a sale, but nevertheless, we're still concerned that now the other guy is going to argue that you have Pasul Edim and therefore, yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, "My benayu, what's the practical difference between Abaye and Rava's reason? Or what's the practical difference between two explanations of Rava's shita? Whether Rava is saying it because he says that to begin with the whole thing is only a chiddush, or whether he's saying it's only because of a takana in order for the benefit of lachos? The nafkamina would be that shidu be trei v'chad or trei v'chad. Suppose that two different edim gave edus on each one of the individual edim and said imanu ha'yisim." So in other words, you have that. So in other words, you have like this. So you have Reuven and Shimon came and testified that Yankel stole. Now Levi and Yehuda come and say Reuven imanu ha'yisim, and Yisachar and Zvulun come and say to Shimon imanu ha'yisim. So you have two edim on each one of them individually. The normal case of edim zomim is you have Reuven and Shimon, and then you have Levi and Yehuda testify on both of them. Here we're saying that you have two sets of edim who are mazimim each one of them individually. Two of them are Mazim Reuven, and two of them are Mazim Shimon. So now, so that's one way. Inami to Pasfunu Begazlan Nusa. Or another Nafkimina would be, what if the Edim are not to, what if the new Edim don't come and say, Imanu Hayisim, but rather they're saying you're Apostle for a different reason, they're saying you are Gazlon. So now it's not such a chiddush, because now it's not such a chiddush to say that we should believe the second set over the first, because when they're coming, anytime if two people come in to Beis Din and testify that somebody is a Gazlan, we have to believe them. So now when they come and say, fine, maybe Yankel stole, but you're Apostle of Edim because you're Gazlanim, well then we have to believe them. There's no chiddush in that.
Exactly
that. Gazlanim, they stole. Oh, they put the Apostle of Edim because of that. So therefore, so lahach lishna de amrit mishum chidush. So according to the first version of Rava, that the reason is why we say they're not possible retroactively is only because of chidush. Leka, in these two possibilities, there's no chidush in it because it's not such a chidush that four edim can counteract two on one and two on the other, because after all, you have two edim. And yeah, not so much a majority. Tosfos points out we have a concept called trei kemeya. Two Edim and 100 Edim are each equivalent. But the point is, in other words, that so Tosfos points out, you can have a case to begin with, the first two Edim, Reuven and Shimon, didn't even know that one another was there. You have a concept that the Gemara calls in the Sefer Makos, Edus Miuchedus. Suppose, for example, you have that Reuven and Shimon are in different buildings and watching from different windows, and they see the same event happening at the same time, but they don't know of each other. So now,
but if they come to the same time.
They come to the same time. They find out from each other. They're talking in shul. They're talking before or after davening in shul, and they discover, hey, you know, we both saw the same thing. Let's go to Beis Din and testify. But now the point is, to begin with, they didn't know one another. Or no, Tosfos says it's not even. He doesn't even know. Reuven comes all by himself to Beis Din to testify. Shimon comes all by himself to Beis Din to testify. They don't even know that the other one is coming. So now, when you have two Edim coming and being Mazim one of them, and two coming and being Mazim the other one, there's not such a chiddush that we believe the second set of Edim, because even to begin with, we didn't even have a complete Edos in a sense. We only had, only by combining them together, are we going to discover that we have a complete
Edos. The
first two came one by one. And then you have two Edim come by one and two on the other. So that would be, so there's less of a chiddush that we believe the second set of Edim, but in the second case where they're passing them because Gazlan Nusa, because they're saying you're Gazlanim, there's also less of a chiddush in it, because of course if two people come and say I'm somebody in Beis Din that he's a Gazlan, then we have to believe him. He's Posulatus. So therefore, so according to that version, in either of those cases, if we say Rava's whole reason is because of a chiddush, here there's not such a chiddush, so therefore there's no reason in those cases we shouldn't follow Abaye and make them Posulam Afrei. On the other hand, lahach lishna da'amit mishum seder de lakuchas ikka. But if you consider the fact that meanwhile other people have been using these people as eders, and you don't want to make them lose out, then we still have a valid reason not to pass all their eders retroactively, even though you have these cases of two edim against each one of them, or saying they're gazlonim, because the fact is we don't want to make lakuchas lose out unnecessarily. So that would be the nafkamina.
And if we switch around the case.
Switch around what?
Same meaning the second set of Edim is one by one with the inverted English?
No, if the second set of Edim come one by one, I mean there have to be two Edim who come and say Imanu Hayisim. But yeah, fine, maybe it would be a bit whatever, we're not getting into that. Sure. So therefore, so lahach lishna da'am nishum chiddush leka. If you say it's a matter of chiddush, there's no chiddush in these cases. Lahach lishna da'am nishum seder lakuchas ikka. On the other hand, if you say seder lakuchas, there is a chiddush. Oh, not as a chiddush, but then we have a reason not to passel them unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the halacha? Amr of Yirmiyahu Megiddi, Ovid Rav Papa Ugdas Habasei de Rava. It happened once that a papa passed in a practical case like Rava that they're also only that they're posel la'edus only mikana la'aba, but not la'mafreya. On the other hand, Rav Ashi Yomah, Hilchsa Kabasei da Abaya, Rav Ashi says, no, the halacha is like Abaya, and the Gemara concludes, the Hilchsa Kabasei da Abaya, the Ya'al Kagam, we have the famous six cases where the halacha is like Abaya, and with the simon Ya'al Kagam, and one of them is our case over here, the ayin of Ya'al Kagam stands for Eid Zomim, which is exactly our case over here. The Yud is Yushalemidas, which is above Metziah, at the beginning of Eid Metziah. The ayin is over here, eid zonim. The lamed, you actually have a three-way machlokas among Rishonim what it is. Rashi says that it's a case in eid of in lechi ha'oimen me'elav. Tosfos brings two possibilities, either that it's a case in nida yemei leida, involving the days after a woman give birth, as far as dinim, of taras ha'mishpacha, or another possibility that it's a case in psachim loy epsha v'loy tamachaben, or Rishonim will bring that. The kuf is a case that we learned in Kedushin Shalei Nimsir Labia, when you have a case of Kedushin where there's a suffix in such a way where it's impossible to have a marriage there. The gimel is a case we learned in Gittin called Gilui Daita Begitta, where a person was Megaladas, a person made it clear with his words that he wants a get to be bottled, but he didn't say in so many words the get is bottled. We had a case over there where a guy sent a get to his wife, and the shliach didn't give it to her that day, and the guy says, Baruch Hashem, and the question is it, does it mean that he was mevatel the get or not? You have Machlokes Abaya and Rava about that. And the mem is a case also involved, a mem is also a case involving Eidos, about a mumer lahat, where a person is eating treif or doing other aveiros, lahachas, whether he's posel eidos, you also have a machlokas abaya and rava about that. So in those cases, the halacha is like abaya. In all the other cases, the halacha is like rava.
Seven.
So there's six. Ya'al kagam. You have a three-way machlokas, what the lamed stands for. So in that case, altogether, there might be eight. But whatever. The point is, basically, you have six. And the simon for them is these things.
Over here, so this case.
This case is one of the six. So therefore, the halacha is like a baya. So therefore, the mafreya who nifsel, these edim, once we find out they're edim zimin, they're posel retroactively to when they first gave the edim. But you have in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, it talks about how do edim who are posel ever become kosher again? They have to do tshuva, but how do we know that their tshuva was sincere? They have to do something which demonstrates that in the future that they're not, for example, why would a person usually come and give false aiduses? Because he was hired for it, for example. So you have eventually where he acts in such a way where he shows, for example, let's say he finds a very valuable aveda and he returns it. So that shows that he's not addicted to money and doing things falsely like that anymore. So that would be one way in which he becomes kosher. And you have in Shulchan Aruch it talks about various details about how an eid zomim can become kosher. The Alter Rebbe mentions, by the way, at the beginning of the Geras HaTshuva, that to you like this, he's dealing with the question. People have the impression that Shuva involves fasting, but you see in connection with these dinim that no, the ikar of Shuva is azivas achet dovad, where we see that the person has definitively given up. And has definitely given up and is not going to do this Havera anymore. So therefore, in each individual case, we need some kind of demonstration that he's actually changed his ways and isn't going to do it anymore. But once he does that, then you don't need fasting and you don't need anything like that. And already he's, and anyway, he's, yeah. So the last tip in Shulchan Aruch on these dinim is that he goes to a place where they don't know him and people offer him a significant amount of money to give Eidos Sheker and he doesn't want to. That demonstrates that they've done Shulchan. So, worth mentioning, by the way, that Ya'al Kagam, Rabbi Yitzchak, that his father points out in a couple of places, Afi Kabbalah, that he points out there are places where we find that Abaya is connected more with Gvura and Rava with Chesed. So the word Kagam is short for the three sons of Levi that we had just had in this week's parasha, Kahos, Gershon, Merarim. And Ya'al means it should rise up. So therefore, Abaya, so therefore the halacha is like Abaya in these cases where Kagam, Kohos, Gershon Murray, rises up and is shown to be higher than for the chesed of the Kohenim. Because usually we have chesed overpowers Gvura, but in these cases we have the opposite of that. It's talked about in Chassidus, the law said Lover. We're going to see the Mila of Gvura over chesed, the Mila of the Levium over the Kohenim, the Mila of the Avodah of the Levium over the Kohenim, and therefore, so then we'll see that all the time, but now we only see it in a certain limited number of cases.
So the base is like just saying in
Ya'al Kagam. In Ya'al Kagam, right.
It's tomorrow morning.
Okay. So,
how could they